Hello and welcome to episode 97 of Feckin' Metal. I'm your host, Fergal Trainer. Thank you very much for all of the feedback on the last episode, episode 96, which was me discussing the early discography of the French metal band Sortilège with my friend Melissa, the podcast which of course was simulcast on both of our podcasts, on Feckin' Metal and Metal Chat with Melissa. That one seemed to stir up quite a lot of interest online from both fans maybe who hadn't listened to them in a while, and people who had never heard them before and ended up really liking them. So thanks for that. That was an enjoyable one to do. This episode is an interview I conducted with the guitarist Eve Bradler from the Swiss band Amethyst back last month. So Amethyst released the EP Rock Nights last year, and if you haven't listened to that one, I can't recommend it strongly enough. I've of course mentioned this on a previous episode of the podcast with George Solano, but if you missed that or if you've forgotten about it, it's one of the best releases recently for me of a traditional metal band. Just a 4-track EP, no room for fat. Every song in it is excellent, and obviously I talk to Eve about that, but we also discuss his early influences, when he started playing guitar, starting to play guitar in his teens and then feeling isolated as a metalhead because he didn't have too many people around him where he grew up where they were also interested in the same type of music as him. So that's something I can definitely relate to. But then he moves on to meeting like-minded people in his 20s, and we talk about how Amethyst now has started to become a regular fixture on festivals like Keep It True and Muscle Rock, and upcoming shows then in Up to Hammers and Trueheim as well. So plenty in this, and I hope you enjoy. This is Eve Bradler from Amethyst. Hey, hello.
Well, hello there.
Hello.
I hope you can hear me.
I can hear you very well, yeah. Haguar, is this some kind of nickname?
Yeah, I don't know where that came from. I might have jokingly used that, I think, in the lockdown at some point. I don't know. It means basically rubbish in, it's
in Swiss?
Yeah, in Swiss German.
Very good. Well, look, nice to meet you. Do I pronounce your name Eves or Yves or
Eve?
No, you don't pronounce. Yes. Okay.
So, like, it's a French name.
Okay, Eve. Well, nice to meet you. I'm Fergal. Thanks for joining Feckin' Metal. I really appreciate it. We can just go straight ahead if you want.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Well, thank you for joining. As I said, I have been listening to your band for maybe about a year or so, and I managed to catch you. What's it, last year now, I think, at Keep It True Rising. Mm-hmm. I picked up the EP there as well last year. So how have things been? Sorry about the confusion last week. At one point you called me when I was in the pub, and you were ringing me on Facebook Messenger, and I didn't even realize you could ring people on Facebook Messenger. So apologies about the confusion there.
No worries about that. It was my fault. It was like I just mixed up the dates.
No bother at all. We got it sorted anyway, so that's good. So you are one of the two guitarists in Amethyst, and you are also in a band called Death Cult, death metal band, and you're in a band formerly called Midas Touch. Like a lot of bands at the moment, some of your members are in different bands or have been in multiple bands, etc. Your singer as well, actually, was he in Midas Touch too, Freddie?
Exactly, yeah, that's true. And him and our bass player, Miguel, all the three of us were at one point part of Midas Touch, and like the end of Midas Touch was basically the reason why Amethyst came into existence. Basically, that was
sorry, go ahead.
It's basically Amethyst in some sorts is a continuation of what we did with Midas Touch, and yeah, after it came to an end, we decided we want to go further and just continue doing what we love the most, playing this kind of music, heavy rock, hard rock, heavy metal, whatever you want to call it. And yeah, that's basically how. Well,
very good. So Midas Touch released a demo back in 2017, although that seems to be it as far as I can see. So what happened? Why did that band end? And why did Amethyst form? So you've given us some of the information there, but how did it come about that you decided to switch the band or split up one band and start another, even though you had similar members?
Well, basically, it was the private lives of some members became quite stressful, and so they just couldn't keep up with the pace we wanted to have for this band, and so yeah, well, it somehow fizzled out, and rehearsals became more sparse, and then at some point we just said, yeah, well, we did call it a day and say, well, doesn't make any sense now to continue with this. But about that was, I think, around 2019, and then after the lockdown, or at least here in Switzerland, after the first lockdown, I think, if memory serves right, that was in May 2020, me and Miguel, we just decided, hey, we still want to do this. The fire hasn't been extinguished. It's it's even burning brighter than before. And so, well, that was basically the birth of Amethyst. But we didn't rehearse, I think, until like November 2020. So that was, I think, our first meeting as a band, if you will.
Okay, very good. So, and then you went about recording your EP, which is called Rock Nights, and it was released on Jawbreaker Records. So how did that come about? Jawbreaker have been releasing some interesting stuff recently, including your EP. So how did the relationship with Jawbreaker Records come about?
Well, we knew Gustav, the founder, or whatever we would call him, of Jawbreaker Records. We have known him for a long time. So, yeah, he's a personal friend of ours. And as you said before, he has a very good taste in music and releases a lot of very, very good stuff. So that's, we didn't think much about it. We just sent him this, I think we recorded our EP in, I think it was around mid to late November 2022. And we just sent him the files and, asked him, hey, what do you think about this? Do you like it? And he said, oh, it's so awesome. And then we asked him, well, do you want to release it? And he said, oh, of course, I will do a tape release of it. And well, that's how the whole journey basically started. That crazy part of the ride started. Yeah, well.
Good stuff. And so you've got, it's a 4-track EP, but obviously, you know, when you play live, you're playing a few more songs than that. For example, I Keep It True. So you've obviously got a few more songs kicking around. And I know you're recording a new album at the moment, so we can get to that a bit later. But I legitimately mean this when I say it was one of the best things I heard last year. One of the greatest releases of metal last year. It was like a really quick kind of EP. You know, it's about 20, 21 minutes, but everything in it, like, there's so much going on in it. Like, there's melody, there's kind of slow riffs, there's faster riffs, there's kind of musical breakdowns, there's songs that have two or three time changes in them. There's great guitar solos. Your singer really stands out. There's so much going on in it for a 4-track EP. You squeezed so much into it. And, actually, some of the songs are like three of them are over 5 minutes, one of them is over six. So like, a lot of people nowadays are kind of pining for the days when heavy metal was, you know, short, snappy 3 or 4 minute songs. Does the length of the tracks, is that something you factor in when you're writing music, or do you just write songs and whatever comes out?
Well, first, thanks for the nice, very nice compliments. The time of the song, no, not really. I mean, certain structures or certain riffs we figure out. Sometimes somebody comes up with a riff or a melody or multiple ones that fits together. And then, well, some of these lend themselves to, well, longer songs, and some for more shorter ones. So it's, no, we don't have that really in mind. I think, if it happens to be a 7-minute song, it's going to be a 7-minute song. And if it happens to be a 3-minute song, it's a 3-minute song. That's just, we never think about that beforehand. So we just, well, it turns out how it turns out. Yeah.
So the interesting one there is Chasing Shadows, which is, I don't know, it's probably your most well-known song, I'd say, but it's 6 minutes and 27 seconds. But like, it doesn't feel like it's that long, but at the same time, it's there's a lot in it. Like, there's so much different sections in it. There's like, there's, you know, it speeds up at the end. There's a faster guitar bit at the end. The vocals speed up at the end. But there's, you cram so much in. But at the same time, it goes by in the blink of an eye as well. So it's kind of a unique, I'd say it's a unique songwriting skill to have something that's 6.5 minutes long, but it feels like you've just been listening to it for 3 minutes.
I also thought so. That's with many of my favorite longer songs. I feel the same, like it feels like just when you started them, they're already come to an end. So, but yeah, thank you. I mean, yeah, I think Chasing Shadows was really, a very inspired song, let's put it like this, from our perspective. Like, we really had, there's a lot of personal stuff that was going on and that was reflected in this song. So I think it was and I can understand. I mean, I don't listen to it anymore myself because I've heard it like a million times, but I can understand why it's a favorite for many people, I guess.
Sure. So Frederick, or Freddie, who sings on the EP and is your singer, he was originally a drummer in Midas Touch and was talked into becoming a singer. And it's interesting to me because he has quite a unique voice. It stands out from the pack of what we would call the new wave of traditional heavy metal. There's character there that, you know, makes it stand out. If you listen to 5 new releases in a couple of days, one of them might stand out, and often it can be because the musicianship is obviously one thing, but if they have a different sounding singer, that can help it stand out as well. So am I correct in thinking he hadn't done any singing before? He was basically voted to be the singer of Amethyst.
Well, I don't know what he's doing in the shower, but I guess
but he was a drummer, though.
Yeah, I mean, no, he hasn't been a singer or anything like that before in any like serious. I think I heard him doing karaoke once or twice, but about it. Yeah, but we thought he had a very good voice, like like the coloration, is that a word, of his voice, and he just went for it, and like we were desperately looking for a singer, and well, it was there, and it just like, I think it was meant to happen. I don't know, but yeah, that's like I mean. And especially as when you would listen to the first rehearsal takes we did with him and what he's capable of doing now, it's quite remarkable. He has really grown as a singer. Like, this was, it's really, really, really great. Really great. Like,
Very good. What about your own history then, Eve, as a guitarist? So how long have you been playing guitar, and what made you get into it in the first place? And like, were you in previous bands before Midas Touch when you were younger, or how long have you been playing lead guitar?
That's a good question. I think I've been playing guitar for approximately 15, 16 years. I started as a teenager. I always wanted to play when I was a child, but I wasn't I was too small, and you know, like, different circumstances. But I always wanted. I mean, I fell in love with rock and roll basically at a very, very early age. I mean, I've been listening to this music basically all my life, thanks to my parents.
Okay.
And for me, it was like, I always felt this. It feels like fire through your veins to me, and I always, you know, I always wanted to release. I have this energy I feel that builds up inside of me. I always wanted to not only listen to it, but also participate in it myself. And I don't know, I always felt very drawn towards the guitar. I mean, I could have become a drummer maybe as well, or a bass player, but it's always the guitar that fascinated me the most. And well, then I started playing when I was a teenager, around maybe 15, I don't know. can't remember it exactly, to be honest. And then things took their course. I played, well, I started, well, I, the problem is I was a quite like as a rock musician or metalhead or whatever, I was quite isolated from the rest. Like I live in a more isolated area in that regard. So I didn't know too many people that were also into this kind of music. And so I only really started doing this more seriously, like in my mid 20s, when I got to know more people from outside my hometown, and you know, when I started to to frequent more concerts all over Switzerland, and then you got into I got into contact with other people that were into this kind of music, and yeah, well, out of this some friendships developed, and through these friendships, you know, I got to know other musicians and so forth and so forth. So that's basically my story in that regard. Yeah.
Very good. So I can relate to you in one respect of growing up not having too many other friends who were interested in the same music. I had one very good friend who was interested in heavy metal, but like the rest of our friendship group when we were growing up were just into whatever else was popular. And then we certainly noticed, and I certainly noticed, going to festivals definitely introduces you to a whole, it's like a massive influx of people who all of a sudden like share the same interests and share the same musical tastes. Yeah. And like, did you travel to things alone? Was it like at the point where you said, okay, I'm just going to go to this because no one else wants to go? Or like, what happened then? Like, how did you like integrate with people?
Well, it's exactly as you mentioned. I just at one point I said, fuck it, I'm doing this by myself. I want to, you know, delve deeper into this world of heavy of metal and rock music, and I had a fairly like a distinguished tastes quite early on, so I was like really into this, and I'm of course still am into the more traditional kinds of metal and rock music, and I started to go to these concerts and festivals, and well, started to hang around, and at some point people noticed me, and I don't know, thought maybe this guy looks cool, and maybe let's talk to him, and I just randomly talked to people. For example, I got to out of all the members of Amethyst, Freddie, our singer, is the one I've known for the longest time, and I think when I met him at the festival, I just started to talk to him because he was wearing a shirt by the French band Sortilège, and I was I really liked that band. I still do, of course.
Oh yeah, fantastic band.
And I started talking about him. About this, and so everything came together, and then, well, that's how things were set in motion, basically.
Very good. It's the beautiful thing about a heavy metal festival in that you don't need to know somebody at all. You can actually just walk up to them and say, oh, nice patch, or that's a great t-shirt, or whatever. And because you're not on the street walking up to a complete, like, it's like you're not complete strangers, even though you are, but you're strangers in a safe place, in a safe environment. So nobody's going to tell you to piss off, you know?
Yeah.
If you say, well, and instead of, like, if you went up to to somebody on the street and was like, I like your hat, they'd be like, okay.
Yeah, sure. I know what you mean, but I wouldn't call that festival where that happened. It was arguably a safe place. But anyway, it was a really crazy experience. It was still, it's probably one of the craziest festivals I've ever witnessed so far.
Which festival was it, or would you prefer not to say?
Oh, no, it was Chaos Ritual in 2015. Chaos Ritual, it was a really, really small, it's basically a local festival here in Switzerland.
Okay.
Or it was, I think the last edition was in 2019, where I happened to play with Death Cult, my death metal band, as you mentioned before. And, well, But it had a lot of international bands, basically bands from I think the first edition. What was there? I can't even remember. But I think among others, there were Kill from Sweden, and yeah, it's like really good times. But crazy. Yeah.
Okay.
I snuck into the backstage area, and everybody was wondering who is he and what is he doing here. But nobody threw me out, and so I just attached myself to the others. I basically like, and then yeah, well, they. So I got into conversations with them, and well, as I said, things were set in motion, I think. On that fateful night, yeah.
So you mentioned a couple of things there. I just want to go back a small bit. You mentioned your parents had obviously good taste in music. Were they heavy metal fans or just hard rock fans? And that gave you a taste of the type of music?
I would say when it comes to my father, he definitely listened to heavy metal as well. I think Europe being one of his favorite bands. I mean,
okay,
Europe, or is that hard rock? I don't know. Europe. Heavy metal, hard rock, Scorpions, and you know, but also Black Sabbath, Saxon, and whatnot. My mother was more on the proggy side, but also she really loves Genesis or Pink Floyd and Wishbone Ash and all bands I
okay
also really like. So yeah, it's course, they were not as much into the like the more extreme variants of heavy metal. I think my father, I think the maximum thing he listens to, like the most hardest thing he probably listens to, is Metallica. But after that, it's like a bit too much.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah.
Yeah,
but
fair enough.
Anyway, I got there eventually. I really did like I did the whole rock and roll thing basically chronologically, but it was like really started with Deep Purple, Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, and then it went to Scorpions, AC/DC, Motorhead, Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, and then so forth and so forth.
Okay, so you had a nice balance of stuff there. Like I wouldn't call any of the Amethyst songs proggy, but there's certainly a lot of time changes in them, a lot of different sections in them. It's far from being straightforward heavy rock, so maybe there was some influence you took from that as well, possibly.
Maybe, yeah, but I think then again a lot of my favorite bands are just a bit more than just straight up hard rock or heavy metal. I mean, in one of my absolute favorite band is of course Iron Maiden or Thin Lizzy, which these are, I think they have, I mean they have some very straight ahead songs, but they also have a lot of different, as you said, time changes and you know whatnot. I mean, this is
I can see the Soundhouse tapes and the Screaming for Vengeance posters there in the background.
Exactly, yeah.
Fair enough. Very nice. And then the other thing I wanted to ask actually, so is Death Cult still an active band, or are they still like recording or rehearsing? Or
Death Cult is very much active as of now.
Okay.
I took a break from Death Cult for the recordings of our album with Amethyst, which happened to be completed, for like, I think we completed them like 2 weeks ago, the recordings. Now it's mixing and mastering, of course. But yeah, with Death Cult, it's we're just not very active when it comes to live shows as for the moment, because we want to concentrate on songwriting and, well, eventually recording a new album, I think, fingers crossed, towards the end of the year. So,
so you're going to be extremely busy this year, by the sounds of it.
I hope so. Yeah, I mean, this is really my life's blood, I guess. Yeah, and there's a lot of things exciting. Also, I mean, with Amethyst, we're like just after the recording sessions ended, we're like there. I think at least two new songs that are already being in the making as we're speaking. Basically. For the second album, yeah.
Wow. Okay. So you've done a handful of gigs and festivals with Amethyst. You played Muscle Rock last year. How was that?
I mean, that was, I'm at a loss for words, basically. This was one of the craziest experiences. And yeah, I'm still overwhelmed. This was like just crazy. I mean, this was more than we could ever hope to ask for. I mean, this was our second gig ever. I mean, this.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I mean, what can you say about something like this? I mean, have you witnessed it yourself or?
I haven't been, though. Some of my friends have been, and they were there when you played, actually. I think you won over several new fans at the time. But I haven't been. It's something I'd love to go to. I've been to Keep It True a few times, haven't been there. And it's Up the Hammers is another one I'd love to go to, which I haven't. And I know you're playing that next year. These things are things I definitely want to go to, and they completely appeal to me. I'm always watching online, and I'm, you know, looking at the lineups, and I'm kind of envious. But at the same time, it's just a cost thing. You know, you can't. I'm in Ireland, so it's expensive enough to travel over to Sweden for a few days. But I will get there at some point, definitely. Just not this year, put it that way. Maybe next year.
What we'll a see. Pity, buddy. You should at some point. Really, you should do so. I think Muscle Rock for me personally is probably the best festival in Europe.
Yeah, I know. Like, some of my friends would be definitely in agreement with you. Okay, so you played Chaos Descends then as well. Was that in Germany?
It was in Eastern Germany.
Yeah, very good. And then you were in Sweden again recently. You're in Gothenburg.
Exactly. This last weekend, we played two shows. We were invited to play two shows in Sweden. One was last Friday. We played in at Geronimo's in Stockholm.
Oh yeah,
and then on Saturday at secret place, basically in Gothenburg. Yeah.
What do you mean now when you say a secret place?
Well, I think it's like I think they have there is a phenomenon in Sweden with a lot of like semi-legal clubs operating. You know.
Okay.
I can't talk too much about it because I don't know that much about it myself, but I think it was like some semi-legal stuff.
I see. So, like, did you drive there in a car with blacked out windows, or?
I wish we would have, but no, it was a bit was not as comfortable. It was we went there from Stockholm by train, and then with the tram. Well, basically,
you got that's rock and roll.
It's not very glamorous, but hey, it is what it is, I guess. Yeah. It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
Exactly. There you go. We mentioned there that you're doing Up the Hammers next year. So that was announced recently. So that must be huge for you. After having done Keep It True Rising, done Muscle Rock, Chaos Descends, now Up the Hammers. This is just like a who's who of the great heavy metal festivals, traditional metal festivals.
It is, absolutely. Yeah. Like this was very far. It was basically on the top of our bucket list to play Up the Hammers. Unfortunately, I've never been there before, but everything I've heard about it was like just that it is, well, fantastic. And it's also for us an opportunity to play in a country which we, well, Greece, which we couldn't, where there are too many opportunities for a band from Switzerland to play in Greece. So, I mean, there are a lot more, of course. Germany or Austria or France or even Sweden is it's not that far off, or like this strange of a place for us to play than Greece is. And I mean, like, this is, I guess, a very welcome opportunity.
Yeah. Good. And how did that come about? Did the festival organizer contact you directly, or how did this opportunity come about?
Since about 5 months thereabouts, we're working together with a booking agent, and I think they just asked our booking agent. Well, I think I'm not too much involved, to be truth be told, I'm not too much involved with the more Well, with organizing
the
whole
business
stuff,
end.
Yeah, I'm more the one that
spring the riffs.
Does a lot. Yeah, I certainly do bring a lot of riffs, but well, I'm not that much into organizing stuff. So
okay,
I
but
think if memory serves right, it's we were contacted. They contacted our booker, and we in turn contacted us. Yeah, about this.
Well, it sounds like you've got a good booking agent working for you. Anyway, so I did catch your set at Keep It True Rising last year in Germany. So you were band one, day one, at midday, and you actually got a huge crowd. So that was really impressive for me, who's somebody who was standing in the crowd. I think it was just that, just during the first song, like a whole load of people filtered in to the point where you'd expect like that crowd for maybe a band at 6 p.m. or something during the day. That must have been fantastic to see such a huge group of people who were into that, into the music.
That was overwhelming and very humbling, a very humbling experience. I mean, like this would have never, ever in my dreams expected. You know, I thought, yeah, we knew quite a lot of our friends were there, and we knew that they would most likely show up, of course. But I mean, this was just crazy. Like I went. I peeked from backstage into the hall, and I was just, holy shit, this is really happening right now.
It was a great atmosphere at the time.
Also, I mean, like, I admittedly enjoy more playing the smaller stages because it's a much more intimate relationship you can build with the audience. But I must say that there it felt actually not too dissimilar from a club show, because people were just, well, were just so much into it, and they were like really enthusiastic, and so were we. So
But you know what, it's got that kind of sweet spot. It's not an enormous hall, but it's not a tiny club, so it's got that in between feel. To me, I've been to the last three Keep It True Risings, and when I'm there, I feel like I'm in a kind of a intimate environment. So I think it has that kind of sweet spot between the two. Okay, so like during that show, you played more songs than are on your EP. So you played "Stand Up and Fight," "Running Out of Time," "Rock Nights," which should be the title track of the EP, but it isn't on it. How did that come about?
Actually, we came up with the song after we did the EP. We just thought, when we thought about the good name for the EP, we just thought, hey, Rock Nights, this sounds really cool and really fierce and, well, heavy, I guess. So we came up with this. But then about half a year later, I came up with the song, hey, why not call this Rock Nights?
So years later now, when people are looking at your discography, they're going to get really confused. They're going to be, hold on now, it's they have a song called Rock Nights, but it's not on the release Rock Nights.
I'm just sorry in advance for this, but yeah, that's just how it is. Yeah, I guess.
And then you did a cover of "Onto the Borderline," which is Mendes Prey. You definitely get obscure bonus points for that. They never even released the full album. So you mentioned yourself, you had very kind of specific tastes about the heavy metal you like. So would you be somebody who's delving into the obscure new wave of British heavy metal bands and obscure kind of European bands and finding real gems? Like, is that a passion of yours?
Well, big time, yeah. I mean, I'm really much, especially into new wave British heavy metal, but also there are a lot of bands from other European countries from that time, but also a lot of obscure 70s rock from Yugoslavia and, you know, like places you wouldn't expect. But yeah, I'm really much into the really obscure stuff, because I think there are a lot of gems that have not, well, they have been discovered by other people, so of course, but I mean, they are not very well known, and I think they would deserve to do well.
So speaking of gems, the word amethyst itself is a gemstone.
Yes.
Did you come up with this, and why did you choose the name amethyst?
Yes, indeed, I did come up with this, but Well, that's a good question. I think I just like the sound of it, and it was like a good new wave of British heavy metal tradition to name your song your band after a gemstone. But I think there was even a band from the new wave of British heavy metal that was called Amethyst. But I mean, they disbanded, I think, even in the 80s, and they never recorded a full, if memory serves right, they never recorded the full length album. And so the name was basically free. It was there right for the taking, and we just went for it and thought, yeah, hey, let's do this. This is a good sounding name. Well, nobody really occupies that name, so, or at least no really well known band. And so, yeah.
Yeah, so nobody's come after you yet about using the name?
Not yet, no. I hope that it would remain like this, but we shall see.
Very good. I also noticed another thing with your EP. So if you order the vinyl, you get this little insert, which is for mail order merch. But you cannot order Amethyst merch any other way, if I'm not mistaken, just through mail order, or if you happen to be at a show. So that's very old school approach to merch.
It is, yeah. We just thought this is a cool way to handle things, you know, things like this. I mean, and as for now, we're very short on merch. I mean, like, this is already, this merch sheet has been outdated for a very, very long time now.
Yeah, I was wondering to myself. So if you sell merch on Bandcamp, for example, obviously you can control your stock levels electronically. And if I go on to search for an Amethyst T-shirt there, if you did have them up there, which you don't, but if you did, I could see, oh, only one left, extra large. Do you get a lot of emails from people going, "Hello, I'd like to order whatever," and then you're like, "Actually, sorry, we don't have it anymore."
Yeah, that happens from time to time, and I'm always very sorry because, especially I manage the social media accounts basically, so I answer those messages, and it's not very pleasing tell people that there's nothing left, or but it is how it is.
Do you feel like you might be missing out on some orders because you've chosen this kind of old school approach?
Well, maybe, yeah, that might very, very well be. But I mean, like, this was a conscious decision we did so on purpose. And so, if that's the consequences, we have to bear it. Like,
Fair enough. Okay. I just thought it's unique anyway. I don't see too many other bands doing that, or actually can't think of another band who's done that. So it certainly stands out. It makes the merch kind of more exclusive as well, I suppose. Not everybody can just order an Amethyst T-shirt online.
Exactly. And we sometimes do special merch for certain occasions. For example, we did a pin for our last year's appearance at Muscle Rock.
Yes.
We did a pin that was exclusively for this festival, and now we did a new shirt that is exclusive for all the Swedish dates we're playing, because we played two more Swedish dates this year.
The yellow shirt, was it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yes, I saw that online, all right, yeah. Yeah.
Turned out really well,
At least you can tell if somebody approaches you and they're wearing the pin from the festival you mentioned, you know where they got it, and you know exactly how they maybe discovered you or something like that. Just wanted to quickly go back. So the songs I mentioned there that you play to Keep It True, and presumably at the other gigs you've done, are these songs from the upcoming album?
No, they're part of the upcoming album. Yeah, for sure. I mean,
okay,
amongst others, of course. I think we have. I think the album is 8 songs. Yeah.
Okay, it's a nice number. And how's the recording been going? Is it finished?
It is finished as of now. It's just, I think, and it already has been mixed. So there's basically just the mastering going on, and then then we send it off, and then it's out of our hands. So basically,
out of your hands. And it's in the hands, actually, of No Remorse. So you signed to No Remorse Records there last year, was it?
It was, at the last year's Keep It True. It was We got into contact last spring with them last spring, and so they asked us, and I think we signed the contract to keep it true. Well, those that were present, that is, yeah.
How poetic, signing the contract to keep it true.
Yeah, yeah, great exactly. Stuff. Well, not with our blood.
Not with your blood, no.
Unfortunately, I would have liked to do that, but I wasn't there anyway, so unfortunately, but yeah.
I'd probably be health and safety concerns these days now doing that. You can't do anything anymore. All right, so good stuff. So you've got the new album coming up. We don't have a date for it yet, but, you know, it seems like it'll be... I suppose you're probably going to be waiting on vinyl production and all that. That seems to hold a lot of people up these days. But the new album is forthcoming. Any more gigs on the horizon that you can talk about now, or anything else that's upcoming? Any news about the band other than what we've talked about?
Well, there's quite a few upcoming gigs. I think next month we are playing in Zurich in Switzerland together with Century. I think this is on the eve.
Oh, nice. Or
on the eve before Keep It True, I guess. Yeah. No, it's actually 2 days before, I think. Yeah, with Century, we're very much looking forward to that, because Century is... course is a very, very good band, a very, very promising band, and we actually met them in Stockholm last weekend, so seem to be very nice guys, and yeah, we're very much looking forward to that.
Brilliant. Yeah, their album was one of the best of last year as well, I think.
Super
excellent
good
album.
I mean, super catchy. I mean, like, holy shit, this is then the month after, so we're in May already, we're playing at the Bavarian Metal Hats open air. I think it's around the 10th of May. Is
very good.
Around
that's
that.
Germany, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. And then the week after, we're playing again in Zurich, but at a festival, which is curated and organized by our friends in Bolza.
Okay.
Which is probably the most well-known Swiss bands of the last decade, I guess, and which the festival is called Eros at Arms, which is a very cool name, by the way, for a festival. And I think, well, then it's already almost June, and then comes Muska Rock, and in August there is the Trueheim Festival, which also happens to be in Bavaria, which is also very I recommend it to everyone
that's
listening who's into traditional heavy metal, which I assume most of your, or at least a big part of your audience is. They should
pretty much, and if they're not, they will. Like, I mean, if they're not, I kind of convince them to.
Yeah.
So,
force it upon them. Yeah, you should do so. No, no, I think, Trueheim. And as for later this year, there are some plans, but it's not set in stone. It's like,
not set in stone.
Yeah,
that's fair enough.
In between, there are, I think, at least two more gigs, but I can't talk about them because they haven't been announced so far, and I don't know if the promoter would like me to talk about them. I don't know. Maybe he or she wouldn't care. I don't know, but I cannot say for sure. So I'd probably. But I think people following us on our social media will be informed. They will know soon enough, I guess.
Very good. Well, I did mention your EP on a recent episode, and it was talking about the best releases of 2023. And then I realized that it had actually been released digitally in late 2022. So I was off by a few days there. But
I mean, it was fully released in 2023. I think we did, memory serves right, I think if I remember correctly, I think the first song we released was Into the Black. And I think that might have been in late 2022.
Yeah, I'm just grabbing these dates from Metal Archives here anyway.
Yeah. But anyway. I mean, the EP as a whole was released in 2023, digitally and, physically.
Okay, good stuff. So I don't think I was chatting to you, to keep it true, but a good few of my friends were, and one of them sent this photo of a big group photo of lots of my friends and you, and I was trying to find it there, but I can't find it. But my friend captioned it with "When the guitarist from Amethyst starts walking away from you mid-conversation," and it's a group of them. What they were saying was that they were very drunk and they're probably being really annoying. And it's a group of them standing there, and you're just like,
No. I mean, I don't know which friends you're talking about.
Big loud group of Irish people.
Those are the people you mentioned, I really like them. I mean, like, I had a really fun time with them. I think so. No, it was probably just a very very unfortunate moment to capture.
They were taking the piss. I'm only messing with you, but he was taking the piss. But it was just a funny way the photo was captured.
Yeah.
But if I can find it, I'll send it on to you. It was quite funny. Anyway, that's brilliant. Thank you very much for joining. I really appreciate it. Best of luck with your upcoming gigs and your upcoming festivals and the album, of course, which is going to be huge, no doubt. I really appreciate it. So thanks for joining, and hope to see you at a festival or a gig. Maybe, I don't know, maybe this year, maybe down the line, who knows. Anyway, definitely at some point.
Well, I hope so, yeah. And really, thank you really much for giving us the opportunity, or specifically me in that case, to appear here in your cool podcast. I mean, you do a really good job. I listened to quite a few of your podcasts before, and I really like what you're doing. I think, keep up the good work, yeah.
Thank you very much. Well, I never expect the guests to have listened before, so it's always nice when they say that they have, so that's good.
Yeah, well, I'm a historian by trade, so I basically I'm accustomed to do at least some research before I get into something. So there's that. I didn't search for something like specifically, but I just wanted to see how is this guy conducting the interviews and
that's fair enough.
What kind of questions he asks, and
good stuff. Okay, right. Well, look, I will give you a shout when this is going to be released. It'll probably be a couple of weeks' time, but I will let you know. I'll send you a message, and thanks again. I really appreciate it. So best of luck
with
everything you have coming up, and I'll talk to you again.
Yeah. You too, yeah, and hopefully we will be able to play one day in Ireland, which would be very awesome. I think there wasn't a festival up in Derry.
I think it Frost was, and Fireland, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this is happening again, but this would be really awesome. I mean, like, I would go there.
It is happening again.
Ah, it is. Yeah. Oh, okay, cool.
It's happening in August, so. Oh. It's a one-day festival instead of two, and it's in Limerick rather than in Derry. And Cirith Ungol and Night Demon are playing currently. They're the only two bands. The rest of the lineup has yet to be announced. So, you know, maybe get on to Jarvis from Night Demon and ask him if he wants to book Amethyst.
Yeah, I mean, we played together with him last September in the Black Forest Fest, which is very. Mm. Nearby, he said he wanted to do something again with us, but we haven't yet been invited, so I don't know if it's going to happen, but I mean, I would love to, because I think would give me a good excuse to visit Ireland in the first
I'm sure it would go down very well if you did play. Even if people didn't know who you were, I'm sure you would go down extremely well. But I'm sure plenty of people who would be going to that gig would know who you were. So it seems like a good fit to me. But we'll see what happens. Anyway, I don't know if he has the lineup solidified at all. I have no idea. But it's happening in 5 months. So maybe not.
Maybe he doesn't know himself what bands are playing. Apart from Night Demon and what was it, Sarah Fungal?
Yeah. Anyway, should be good. All right, so I'll leave it there. I'll let you get back to your evening. Yeah, so that was brilliant. Thank you. And I'll let you know when I'm going to post it up.
Okay, well, we'll do that. And again,
yeah,
I really thank you for this. It was a really cool experience for me. It was the first interview I did for Amethyst, at least in person. I mean, it was awesome. Thank you.
All right, great. Thanks very much, Eve. And I'll talk to you soon.
Well, Fergal, it has been a pleasure. Have a good evening.
All right, so that was the guitarist Eve Bradler from the band Amethyst. I'd like to thank him very much for taking the time out with me last month to record an interview. This was his first ever interview, as he stated there at the end, towards the end. Well, in person, so I assume he's probably replied to some email type interviews in the past, but it was great to get him on his first ever spoken interview on Feckin' Metal. I loved hearing about his love of obscure metal and 70s rock and just trying to find obscure gems and things like that. So this band is definitely one to watch in the future. They've got obviously got an album coming out soon. Keep your eyes peeled for that one. I certainly will be. I hope you enjoyed my chat with Eve. The next podcast episode I have coming your way, I mentioned it on the last episode, and that is a chat with Stephen Waddle from Oath SC, and we discussed the recently released Blaze Bailey and Bruce Dickinson albums and a small bit about Oath as well. So that's coming your way soon, but that's going to do it for this episode of Feckin' Metal. I'm going to leave you with a bit of Chasing Shadows from the debut EP from Amethyst, which is called Rock Nights. So I have been your host, Fergal Trainer, and I will see you next time.